right. My name is Becky Spitzer. I am a graduate student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I'm also do some graduate research with America's Health Rankings. So today I'm going to talk about the influences of health behaviors and community characteristics on preventable hospitalizations among the senior population in the United States. So just to kind of set the stage for what I'm going to be talking about, the United States healthcare system is the most expensive healthcare system in the world, but it consistently underperforms in many sectors, including access, equity, and efficiency, compared to other countries. With the passage of the Affordable Care Act recently, there's been a lot of aspects changing in our healthcare system, including many provisions for seniors, including lower prescription drug costs, free preventative services, and also lower premiums. There's also an increase in the emphasis on accountable care organizations, and that's kind of the backbone of this new model, and it really includes a lot of care coordination and provides a great opportunity for improving quality and reduction of costs within the system. So in the year 2000, the top causes of death in the United States were tobacco use, poor diet and physical inactivity, and alcohol consumption. But there's been substantial increases in the deaths attributable to poor diet and physical inactivity in recent years. If we don't address problems related to this, it's very likely that this will overtake tobacco use as the leading cause of death in the U.S. So the main thing I'm going to talk about is preventable hospitalizations. They're also known as ambulatory care sensitive conditions. It refers to a subset of hospitalizations that may be prevented by efficient ambulatory or primary care. The top causes of these among seniors are diabetes-related complications, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and as the prevalence of these continues to rise in the country, so will the healthcare expenditures, namely Medicare. So a nationally representative study of Medicare beneficiaries within the country showed that the individual-level predictors of preventable hospitalizations include lower income, lesser educational attainment, advanced age, along with a history of other chronic diseases, and poor self-rated health status. Other health behaviors, including smoking, physical inactivity, primary health care visits, or rather lack thereof, poor nutritional intake, and excessive alcohol consumption, have been documented as potential precursors for preventable hospitalizations, but it's unclear as to what effect these will have on our senior populations. So recently there's been this new phenomenon kind of being coined as the silver tsunami. Every day in the U.S., 10,000 baby boomers turn 65 years old. Within the next 25 years, our senior population in the U.S. is set to double. If you look at this graph over here in the red, that's people age 65 and up. So this is the projected U.S. population growth percentage change from 2012, starting at the left-hand side, going on up. So in the red is 65 and up. You can see it's a pretty steady increase in the years to come. But in the green, we have those aged 85 and up, and that's pretty much increasing exponentially. So we're going to have a really different population structure within the country in years to come. Also, there are about 16% of the population relies on Medicare right now to pay for insurance. So this is really going to affect us economically as well with the cost of healthcare. So what I'm looking at is to examine how different health behaviors and community characteristics play a role in determining preventable hospitalizations among us. So I took data from that was compiled in the America's Health Rankings Senior Report, and all the data was analyzed at the state level. So first off, the preventable hospitalizations, this is defined as the number of discharges for ambulatory care sensitive conditions per 1,000 Medicare beneficiaries. The most costly and common of these, according to the National Health Service, were COPD, congestive heart failure, angina, influenza, and pneumonia, and also cellulitis. So first off, the health behaviors are looked at. Smoking, this is adults 65 and older who self-report smoking at least 100 cigarettes in their lifetime, or who currently smoke every day or some days. Obesity, this is those 65 and older estimated to be obese with a BMI of over 30, and physical inactivity. And this is the adults 65 and older who are in fair or better health, but also report doing zero physical activity in the last 30 days. And these were all from the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. Next, the community characteristics I looked at, or community support, which is the expenditures captured by the Administration on Aging, divided by the adults, the number of adults, it's 65 and older, that are living in poverty. Then I looked at social support, which is the adults 65 and older who report receiving sufficient social and emotional support. And then finally, home health care, which is the number of personal and home health care aides per 1,000 adults 75 and older. And then finally, I just added in some control variables to kind of rule out any interaction within the variables I wanted to look at. And these were poverty, education, presence of a dedicated health care provider, and then finally, geriatrician shortfall. So what I did, as I said, the data was from the AHR senior report. I ran it in a linear regression to look at the association, first unadjusted and then adjusted for the previous control variables I mentioned. So this is just a little nationwide comparison. First off, again, there's a little formatting error, but I listed all of the variables and then also the lowest and highest in the respective states that these were in. So just to look at a couple of these, for instance, preventable hospitalization. Again, that's discharges for ambulatory care sensitive conditions per 1,000 Medicare enrollees. So if you look at the highest in Kentucky, it's right about 100. So that's 1 in 10 seniors being discharged for those conditions, which is really high prevalence. Also, if you look at physical inactivity, both of those are kind of striking because that number, again, is the seniors who are in fair or better health but report doing zero physical inactivity, or zero physical activity, rather, sorry. So in Tennessee, it's 41%. And then in Colorado, even the lowest, 1 in 5 seniors reports doing zero physical inactivity of those who are in fair or better health. So this is just a busy chart showing all of the relationships of the data I ran. If we look over on the right-hand side, the most significant of these were the smoking and the physical inactivity, which were about 27 and 61% of the variation in the data. So smoking and physical inactivity, as I said, displayed the two greatest associations with preventable hospitalizations among the senior population. The results even strengthened after controlling for the variables of poverty, education, presence of dedicated health care providers, and geriatrician shortfall. So what do we do from here? There's been previous analysis that shown that there's a significant association between perceived access to care and preventable hospitalizations, and that in that there are higher rates of these preventable hospitalizations in areas where people have perceived problems in accessing medical care. So future analysis could look at how this phenomenon in communities affects the various health behaviors of its citizens. So do they behave differently if they think that they don't have access to quality medical care? It's also been found that there's a high correlation between preventable hospitalizations and low educational attainment and low income as well. So both of these are actually strongly correlated with physical inactivity and smoking. So any kind of intervention, increasing educational programs or opportunities for people of all ages, or some kind of incentive for continuing education programs could really have an effect on preventable hospitalizations down the road. The limitations of this study, it was a cross-sectional study, so we come across a problem that we don't necessarily know that the exposure led to the outcome. So, for instance, we don't know that smoking came before the preventable hospitalization, so we don't know the relationship there. But this kind of study is beneficial if we were to iterate it in years to come. It gives us a good snapshot in time, so we can track the trends over time and kind of see if they follow the same pattern. It's also an ecological study, so we come across the ecologic fallacy, and that just because the association exists at the state level doesn't necessarily mean that it exists at the individual level. So in the problem, if we find a state that really stands out, we need to look at that state and then dig deeper and find maybe pockets that are really that would be useful for targeting intervention to lower the number overall. So in conclusion, as the preventable hospitalizations rise, so will the cost of Medicare. There's a real need to focus on accountable care organizations within the Affordable Care Act. As I said, this is really the care coordination is really the backbone of this. So it provides a really good opportunity to reduce costs and improve quality among care for senior populations. And in order to most effectively target the prevalence of preventable hospitalizations among seniors and improvement for Medicare costs, it would be beneficial to focus our efforts on preventative and or reduction strategies for these senior populations to target the behaviors of smoking and physical inactivity. This is my contact information, and I do have a disclosure. This is supposed to be at the beginning. But I do, as I said, I do graduate research for America's Health Rankings and hold a position on the Scientific Advisory Committee.